Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, good morning. It is wonderful. It's been a great morning. I almost want to bounce off everything that's happened up here this morning, but it means we'll be here till 1 o'clock. It's been great to be with you, to be reminded already of why we're here. I'm Steve Kovitz, and I'm about to preach from that passage we just read from. So keep your Bible open in 1 John chapter 4. And as Danny has already mentioned, last week we began our four-week Advent series called The Missing Piece. P-E-A-C-E. Reality is, we are missing peace. Like, our world, our lives are filled with conflict. Our Advent series is like this four-piece puzzle. Peace as in P-I-E-C-E. A four-piece puzzle with each piece highlighting a specific teaching that helps the Christian live in this world of conflict with peace. The four pieces are hope, love, joy, and peace. And as Danny mentioned last week, we worked our way through hope. I like that. I sound louder. Keep that up. This week, we're looking at love. I don't know if you remember the video. It's an iconic ad from 15 years ago now. And the closing line on it is, let me build up to it a little bit. It's humans sitting down for a job interview. And the expectation for the job in the job description is things like, you must never be distracted. You must always walk in a straight line. You must be available on call 24 hours a day, every day. And what's the pay? Love. Just love. Now, obviously, no human could ever meet that job description. And so that's why the guide dog came running out, and they're the only ones who could meet it. Which gets me thinking. Are any of us up for the Christian job description? You see, finish this line from Jesus for me. By this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Have you noticed how hard it is to love one another? Now, I'm not talking about the annoying neighbor who doesn't clean up after their dog or lets their cat out at night to eat all the natives. I'm not talking about the annoying neighbor. I'm talking about one another. One another. It's a phrase that is used 100 times in the New Testament. It's an important Christian phrase, and it means church family. Have you noticed how hard it is to love our church family? People are complicated. People are difficult. People are annoying. And that includes Christians. And so are we up for the Christian job description? Love one another. The right answer is, of course, no. No. And the reason why we need to answer no is so that we know that we all need Jesus' help if we are to love one another. And so let me pray. Let's pray. God, you are an unending, overflowing, eternally flowing well of love. And so we pray that today we would fix our eyes on you who is love. Would we receive your love? Would we daily receive your love so that we can be a conduit of your love? We pray this for your glory. Amen. Amen, amen. Listen, Jesus is telling us today, you believe in me? That's good. Now, go and love as I have loved you. You see, brother, sister, Christian belief necessarily leads to Christian behavior. Christian belief necessarily leads to Christian behavior. That is both frightening and exhilarating. It's frightening because we often fall into the devil's trap of thinking our behavior will earn our salvation. The fruit of that devil's trap is always pride and despair. But once we realize that Jesus is, when he commands us to do something, Jesus also enables us to do that, all of a sudden this command becomes exhilarating. Through Jesus, we are free to dream of the huge difference we can make simply by turning up to love as we have been loved. And so imagine with me, dream with me, pray with me for a church that loves one another. Every single church is supposed to be an oasis of love in a dry and toxic world. Now, our passage for today, it's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Make sure you got it open. It has often been said that 1 John is one of the most difficult books in the Bible to read correctly. Now, on the surface, it looks like the Apostle John is holding us up to an impossible test, the love test. Our passage is the third passage in 1 John where the test of love is put before us. My job today is to help us to be captivated, to be excited, to be motivated by the test of love. And here's how we're going to work through 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Firstly, we're going to see that God is love. Secondly, God sent love. And then thirdly, God's love is perfected through our love. That almost sounds wrong, doesn't it, that third one? So stay with me. We've got to get there. Here's where we're headed. God is love. God sent love. God's love is perfected in our love. So firstly, God is love. Read from verse 7 with me. 1 John 4 verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. There it is. There's the command. Let us love one another. For love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Did you hear the test? Let us love one another. That's not a hey. Let's give this a crack, guys. This is a command. We must love one another. A command with a clear line in the sand. That there's the positive and the negative. If you do love, you're born of God and you know God. If you don't love, you do not know God. And so picture this scenario. Let's say, it's a hypothetical, let's say we had a young adult in our church family whose additional needs meant they didn't get social filters, social cues. He often asked the wrong question to the wrong person at the wrong time. Always from a posture of trying to be friendly and engaging and loving, he just doesn't get social cues. Now, here's the test. When you overhear somebody from our church family say, "Why does our church allow that guy to be so rude and distracting?" Are you willing to ask, "Do you know God?" You see, there's a mild difference between you shouldn't say that and do you know God? Let's tease that out. You shouldn't say that. That's just after behavior modification. Stop saying that. Don't ever do that again. Do you know God? Is getting at the heart. The devil's happy with behavior modification. God is in the business of heart transformation. I'm going to push in a bit deeper so that we can see how important God's heart business is. If we were to say, so you imagine yourself, I imagine me, if we were to say, I am going to love because I love God, our motivation to love will be questionable, will be limited, and it'll fluctuate. You see, the motivation is totally coming from within because I love God. I'm going to love because I love God. The key to unlocking this confronting, difficult command from God to love one another is seeing where the real power to love comes from. It cannot come from human willpower. You and I will always fail to fuel our love if it comes from, I've got this, I can do this. The Christian motivation to love is not willpower, but God. Brother, sister, God is love. That the Christian says, I'm going to love because God loved me and God is love. Our love motivation is God's love. It's his character, full stop. God is love. Our love motivation is God's love. You see, God's love is not questionable, is not limited. Never ever fluctuates. As we feel the weight of God's love test, the place to start is God's love. God is love. Brother, sister, remember, God is love. And remember, God knows you, and you know God. You do. You know God. We just sometimes get distracted. And one of our great distractions is lettuce. Not L-E-T-T-U-C-E. Let us. We often get distracted by God saying, let us. I command you to go in love. And we hear that and we go, I've got this. I've got to do this. I must do this. But every day we must remember something first. God is love. God is love. God is the never-ending, eternally deep, always overflowing spring of love. Did you remember last week when I said, remember that video from Kids Church when Kate was pouring the cup into all the other cups below? That's the image. God is love. He is. He's eternally deep. He's overflowing. He is. Never stops. God is love. And there, every day, is our starting point to love. We first drink and drink and drink. Every day, he's overflowing. Next time you find it difficult to love someone, ask yourself, self, do you know God? That was God is love. Now to our second point, God sent love. Read from verse 9 with me. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us. So in this, what I'm about to write, the love of God was made known. It was declared. It was made manifest among us that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God sent his own Son so that God would come and pour out his wrath on our sin. That's what propitiation means. Jesus came as a sacrifice so that he would pay the price our sin deserves. Brother, sister, we're standing on holy ground right now. We are gazing into the furnace of holiness, and the fuel of God's holiness is love. An unimaginable, inexplicable, ineffable love. For you see, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You know, most good people will say, you must love. But it is only our God who says, and you must love your enemy. And you better believe God put his money where his mouth is. God sent Jesus. And Jesus went to the cross gladly. Now sure, Jesus had a moment where he begged God to find another way. But even in that most desperate moment, Jesus willingly set aside his will, his anxiety, his fear. You see, it was God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were driven by love, even love of the enemy. Now, I just said that Jesus begged the Father to find another way, which begs the question, another way for what? Find a way to forgive sin and at the same time, not even have a hint of corruption. To both forgive and be just. Let me explain. Imagine the law court of Port Macquarie let off the worst of the worst criminals with a slap on the wrist. Ah. You just murdered your neighbour in cold blood because the teenager was mowing the grass at 8 a.m. And you've been before my law court over the last 10 years for aggravated assault. Well, I love to love and I love to forgive. So how about we just agree that you don't do this again and we'll monitor the situation? That is not love. And here's why. The judge fails to uphold justice and righteousness and truth and goodness and beauty. It's a failure to love all the innocent people that the man offended and will continue to offend. You make the innocent suffer when you let the guilty go free. And if we move from that fictitious illustration to the reality of our Creator sitting on the judgment throne of creation, there are many who call for a salvation that involves nothing more than the wink of an eye. Oh, you're sorry? Okay. You're forgiven. There are some who even claim to be Christian that say blasphemous things like calling Jesus' death on the cross a sacrifice, a propitiation, is barbaric. For don't you know, God just forgives, that's all. God's not so petty to require punishment. Listen, that's a message straight from the devil. God does require punishment for wrong because he is just and holy. But here's the glorious truth of the gospel. God absorbed the punishment. It was God the Son, who is God, who became the propitiation. God's not petty. God doesn't willy-nilly send lightning bolts down anytime somebody does something wrong. No, God is love. And God is holy. And God is just. You see, God is so loving that he cannot be unjust. He's so supremely loving that he devised a way by which we can be justly saved. It would be an unjust salvation. An unjust salvation would be no salvation at all. God would no longer be God. And so this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation that has earned the salvation of anyone and everyone who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. I told you, we're standing on holy ground. Brother, sister, God is not after behavior modification. God is in the business of heart transformation. A whole new motivation, a whole new heart, a whole new life. God's command to love one another is built on these two foundations. God is love. An ever deep, ever flowing, so much flow of love. God is love. And second foundation, God sent love. The more we realize what God's love cost, the more we're ready to step into costly love. To our third and final point, God's love is perfected in our love. This is the most provocative point of them all. Let me show you. Read from verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought, do you hear it? The command again? God so loved us, we ought, let's get on with it, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. And so we need to hear it again. God's expectation. We ought to love one another. There it is, the command. The ought is not so daunting this time, though, because we've already been forewarned. We know that we don't love to earn God's love. We already have been loved. That's why we ought to love. Grace, grace alone. But that's not the provocative bit. Verse 11 is not provocative. It's the end of verse 12. You see it there? God's love is perfected in us. Some commentators just want to change that all around. They can't cope with it. How can our love of one another perfect God's love? Isn't our love always imperfect, always incomplete? Do you see the dilemma? Well, let's just follow the logic of this short, punchy, powerful passage that we've already worked through, and I think it makes complete sense, except I think I've done some typos on the slide. I have. All right, let's fix them up. The logic of the passage that starts at verse 7, not verse 8. All right, so there's, I'll just fix up the verses for you, for those taking notes. The logic of the passage is God is love. God is love. He's always loving. He's always overflowing in love. That's verses 7 and 8. The next part is God loved us. That's verses 9 and 10. God sent his son. God's done it. And he's put his love into us. He's loved us. And so thirdly then, as we just flow it through, this is natural. God abides in us and perfects his love in us. And so it's not that we are perfecting God's love, it's that God is perfecting his love through us. How exciting is this, church? Our God is so big and so strong and so mighty. And he is perfecting his love in us as we love one another. God's at work amongst us. Wow. Let's be Team Jesus. We're going to finish with two applications, two cases that involve loving difficult people. And remember, this is about one another. This isn't the difficult neighbor. This is us. The brother or sister who has offended you. Maybe your ministry team leader gave you some feedback on a day they were particularly grumpy. Maybe a brother or sister has stood you up for lunch. They've offended you. What does God expect? You go and seek reconciliation. See, the temptation is to think, well, why do I have to do the work? They offended me. And the temptation is straight from the devil. Remember the gospel logic of 1 John 4. We love because God is love. And God sent his love. And right now, God is perfecting his love through us. Our love ought to follow the love of God by always seeking to produce reconciliation. Love is always being poured into us from God. And so we always have all that we need to go and to love. Hard case two, the negative, grumpy, awkward brother or sister. We're having fun this morning. There are some people who just have an edge about them, that they always see the negative. They're quick to tell you what's wrong with church, what's wrong with our welcoming, what's wrong with our music, what's wrong with our preaching, what's wrong with you. They complain about most things. They do little to help. Remember the logic of love from 1 John 4. We love because God is love. God sent love and God perfects his love in us. By the love that God has manifested, by the love that God has shown us, we're bound to love one another. You know, should Jesus forgive all of your, all of my many issues, and we don't forgive one another? It's easy to love a friend. It's easy to love those that we get along with. It's easy to love those who are similar to us. But Jesus demands that we love one another. Now, love is not sweeping that grumpiness under the carpet. Love is coming alongside and asking, do you know that you often come across rather difficult to get alongside, but I want to get alongside you? And so can we chat? Is there something you don't know about God's overflowing love? At the very least, just, I've done some marriage therapy right now, yeah? But God's saying, one another. You see, the exciting thing is family. we have all the resources we need to love one another. For starters, God is love. He's the never-ending, overflowing spring of love. God sent love. Jesus died for you. He died for me while we were still his enemies. And right now, God is perfecting his love through us. We have all the resources we need to love one another. Let's pray. Yeah, Father, your love is never questionable, is never running out, or it is always there and perfect. Ours is not, Father. Forgive us that we have not loved one another, let alone our neighbour, as we've loved ourselves. Father, would we each be stirred to love as you have loved us? Father, would we drink at your well every day? Would we help each other drink at your well of love every day, as long as it is called today? Father, if there's any rifts within our family that need healing, Father, may your love, may your reconciliation abound. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.